Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Fill My Eyes and Company with Poetry. I hope everyone's having a great night. I hope you had a good week and a great, even better weekend to follow. What was I just going to say? It must have been a lie. We have a great board of poetry tonight. And hello, Rex, and how are you tonight?
All righty.
Yeah, very good. Not too much. It's been a kind of a quiet day here. You know, it's the weather's was nice today. It was it wasn't too hot, it wasn't too cold, it was just peachy. I got my a basil plant and a cucumber plant yesterday, so we put them in a pot and see how badly I can grow those. They might be by the end of the week. But I figured I'd give it a try. And I'm going to give it a little something to climb on, the cucumber plant, that is, and see if that worked out for me. If not, well, can't say I didn't try this year. And hello, Kate. How are you tonight?
I'm wonderful, thank you. It's a lovely evening. It's the middle of the night, so I'm going to think. Yeah. Hi there.
Hello.
Hello, mate. That accent's getting so much better.
Too funny. Oh my goodness. Yeah, so Yeah, we have a really nice looking board tonight. Lots of great offerings for the show. And we have, I don't know, four SoundClouds, I think. One, two, three, four. Yep,
yeah,
that's what
four.
I said. Yes, and they look like nice ones, you know. So I'm looking forward to hearing those. And, yeah, so that's the scoop there. And, yeah, we're just trying to, I don't know, I'm trying to ease my way into the weekend here. And got, you know, crazy stuff. Well, I don't know if I got crazy stuff going on or not. I got my daughter in and out of here over the weekend, and my grandson's got baseball and all that good stuff that goes on at this crazy house of mine. But it's all good. It's all good. So yes. I don't know. Is there anything that I'm that you want to mention, Rex? Because I'm a little silly. What you got for Sunday? That's what I meant.
Gordon Lightfoot.
Gordon Lightfoot. There we go. There we go. And I sent you an email today in case you didn't see it.
I haven't read that far.
Okay. Just a heads up. And,
okay.
Yeah. And I don't know. It was just another suggestion for another Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
And, Kate, what is happening with you? Anything exciting?
Well, yeah. We have a thing here at the moment. Is this a new thing called Vintage Cash Cow? Now, doesn't that sound wonderful? And basically,
yeah,
you just put all your any stuff you want to sell, you put in a box. Well, they send you labels, so it doesn't cost you to send. So you put stuff in a box, stick the label on, send it to them, and in 3 or 4 days you'll get an offer. And if you want to take that offer, fine. And if you don't want to take that offer, they'll send your stuff back free of charge. So basically, it's a win-win. So I sent my box off today, so I'm dying to find out what they say.
Right. That's interesting. I mean, I guess I'm always the skeptic. I'd be saying, well, what if I send it and they don't send anything back? And what if it's not legit? And I would be like, I said, well, then I'd be mad, I guess. You know?
Yeah.
But I guess, yeah, I mean, if it's something that goes on all the time, I guess that is you know, I mean, I guess that's pretty cool. Really take it anywhere, and someone will give you their appraisal of it and and make an offer on it. I mean, I think that's pretty good.
Thing is, of course, me being me, I've taken pictures of everything that I've sent. So
gotcha.
I know what's in the box. So if they start to play the silly buggers, I'll be in there. But I sent them lots. So I sent 18 silver sixpences, 17... 1965 or thereabouts, 5 pences and some copper coins and loads of stuff, loads of costume jewelry, which I've got hundreds of. I'm looking forward to see what the offer is. And,
yeah. I like it. Boxes include coffins, Kate. Titus was asking you if the boxes include coffins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
I don't know. We have Hope in the room. Titus is in the room. What kind of good stuff? That sounds pretty interesting. I'm too much of a skeptic, I guess. No odds and sides either. No old odds and sides. Okay, I'll tell you.
Hey, Kate.
Yeah?
Titus wants to know, do the boxes include coffins?
Yeah, I saw that. I put no hun and no old odds and sods either. That's an old Scottish saying, odds and sods. It just means rubbish, you know, old bits and pieces. Coffins.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. Oh, excuse me. Good Lord. It's not the company. It's the hour. It's awful. But, yeah.
Oh, you say that.
So I don't know. I guess maybe we should get the party started. I don't really know. I guess we should.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Because I could sit here and just chatter away all night long and without a thought. Rex, I'm going to have you kick us off with this piece by S. Sharp. It's called Mother. And I have to assume he wrote this for Mother's Day. So let me put this one up. And whenever you are ready.
All righty. Mother by S. Sharp. Mother, my eyes are new, drawn to earth, windswept carriage of time, revered church of man. Just a child of this flesh, barefoot to this rocky path you lead me upon. My eyes pull colors, pledges from the mountains to be explored. Waves crash upon senses shore, exhilarated by leaves, moments golden, yellow, and red, fallen upon green and brown tones, interwoven amongst your wisdom. Standing cliffside, perilous journey, overlooking expansive seas of life, casting shadows small upon this ground, a grain of sand upon this shore carries me to and fro under the purple and pink belly of the vast, pregnant sky. Your hands lift me up upon wafting dreams, shield me from thy dark clouds of scorn. The rays of life warm this fragile shell where eagles fly on the sea breezes. End poem. All right, Kate, you get to leave.
Okie dokie. Please don't let me start singing again. That's scary. Oh, dear. This is absolutely lovely. This is such a reminiscence of being a child and enjoying everything around him. Just a child of this flesh, barefoot to this rocky path you lead me upon. My eyes pull colors, pleasures from the mountains to be explored. That must have been a wonderful childhood. By the sea, the mountains. And I love the description of the leaves. Exhilarated by leaves, moments golden, yellow, and red, fallen upon green and brown tones interwoven amongst your wisdom. Yes, I think this is a beautiful piece of poetry. It flows wonderfully, and it's so expressive. And feeling small in a large world, a grain of sand upon the shore carries me to and fro. Yes, I really enjoyed this. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, S. Sharp.
Nice. Thank you, Kate. All right, Jean, how about you?
I thought this was just beautiful. A wonderful imagery throughout and beautifully written and expressed. And, you know, my next sentence is safe in the mother's arms. You know, I just thought it was really well penned and put together. It really was beautifully, the imagery was beautifully done. I'm not even, like, sure where to begin to pluck a stanza from. Here, just a child of this flesh, barefoot to this rocky path, you lead me upon. My eyes pull colors, pleasures from the mountains to be explored. Waves crash upon senseless shore, exhilarated by leaves, moments, golden, yellow, and red, fallen upon green and brown tone, interwoven amongst your wisdom. What beautiful, beautiful imagery, and God, it, I don't know, it just is wonderful to me. So wonderful job, Seth, and thank you so much for sharing with us. Great job with this piece, all the way around.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I'm joined by the back end of this last two stanzas, especially that second last one, because it offers up a double thought. Standing cliffside, perilous journey, overlooking expansive seas of life, casting shadows small upon this ground, a grain of sand upon this shore, carries me to and fro, under the purple and pink belly of the vast pregnant sky. That walks a nice, lovely thought in itself with the metaphors, but it also hits on that note of standing cliffside, perilous journey, moments before birth, overlooking expansive seas of life, the casting shadows, small grain of sand, offer up that notion of just being the little thing in the room, so to speak, and then under the purple and pink belly of the vast pregnant sky. That hits me with that sort of that last look before one leaves and is then born unto this world. So I like that for that stanza alone. But everything else was lovely, Scott. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Just a wonderful piece. Hello, Jenny. Hello, Hope. Hello, Ben. Hello, Titus. I don't think I missed anybody. Okay. The next piece I'm going to put up. Kate, I think you're going to like this one. This is called Growler Groening Mitz Whiskey's Money Mona. Gosh, it's so horrendous. And I have an audio for this. It's by Selena and our one and only rep. So, here it goes.
They are steam like a gnawing sax, swinging the blue off a summer night's black velvet pouch. She was a cool grin sachet of hips, sinuously cutting through swirling purple smoke, leaving a swaying trail these cartoon wolves stalked, with bulging eyes and protruding lollies choking on beer and bourbon drool.
Smile wasn't gonna work here. He looked like a 44 Magnum, hard and brutal. Leaning forward, he took out a pristine pack of Lucky Strikes. Slowly sliding long fingers under crackling cellophane, unwrapping, he held it out. I bent low, understanding the tightness in his jawline, letting those icy mint julep eyes pour lingering over my milky rise and fall, spilling just enough for I should have cut bait and run, but I was all in.
Not a dainty broad, but nervous all the same, as I spied a single bead of sweat dribble between those bouncing Bettys. She might have brought me here, but I was leading this here two-step.
As he rose, his sweat-soaked, clinging cotton shirt,
look, you had me thinking I was losing my mind trying to read this. I'm saying, no,
yes.
This is lying in. I'm like, where am I? What is going on?
You grabbed the first one.
I didn't know there was two. Hang on. Let me go up to the top.
If you look at it, it says Sweat and Sax Bullets in the Blue Agana Part 1. You took that one. The SoundCloud below that is the second one.
Oh, what the hell do I know? Like, you haven't seen me. I stopped the other one. I'm not going to be confused any longer. Oh, my God. Yeah, you got me all figuring I'm messed up. See what they do to me, Kate?
Yeah, he did it to me. He did it. Well, they did it to me, too.
Oh, thank God I wasn't alone, then.
I'm looking, going, where are those lines that you're reading? I can't see.
I looked everywhere. I'm looking at these stanzas. I'm saying, now look, they didn't read that fast. And I'm down like four stanzas down, and I'm going, I don't want to see them. It's like, where the hell are they? All of a sudden, I see wrong one come up in the little corner of my screen, and I went, oh. Yeah, I felt so much better. Okay, so I'm almost there. I have to, feel free to chat amongst yourselves while I make this happen.
Oh, we can do this.
So what was the first one, Rex? That was from the last show? Like the first time around? This is like a part.
This is part two of the Blue Iguana.
Okay.
Yeah, that first one was all about the meeting. The second one gets into a little bit more of what's going on. And Selena went all hog on the production angle, dropped in a ton of stuff.
And then I can, I can like messing up the night for everybody. Sorry, everybody. Sorry, Rex.
Oh, not a problem.
You know, you guys can't give me too much to go on because, that's
me when I heard the music start, I said, that don't sound familiar.
Oh, my God. Okay, so that one's trashed out, so I'm going to put that at the bottom. And now I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to try and upload this one quick. Yeah, so that was, yeah. Yeah, I feel better. I thought my eyes were going. And so if you sing a song or two, Rex, we should be able to have this all up and running. You know.
Okay, cool. When you've got that one in, listen carefully to the background, because there's a lot of things in there that still, you know, actually roll through with what I had as far as voice.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And the background.
Yep.
She added those sounds and tones, so they're all in there.
Oh.
From the frogs to the owls to the growling gator.
Wow.
and all the bugs too.
Oh geez. Okay, well, I got it here. So we're ready to rock and roll. So let me start over, and everybody, we all know where the poem is now, so we're good. And hit the button.
Got a place down the road a piece. Follow me there.
This guy was no second liner. He followed his own parade. Could I trust him? Doubted that. Didn't have much choice. There was something about him made me feel I needed a gree-gree. But he was a long, cool drink of water, and I was as parched as a desert thistle in the noonday sun.
Out here, the swamp swims in music. Bullfrogs bloated moans to mating, and those cypress and fetid moss jackals, growling, tail slapping beasties, feasting as owls question an Anubian night, swallowing all things. Out here, we's alone on the edge of death, where life begins. This old shack ain't much, but bourbon on the back porch in moonlight whispers its ancient tongue toast to macabre dealings.
As nervous as that cat on a hot tin roof, I watched him splash hefty shots of bourbon into two glasses. As he moved toward me, I perceived that was no picayune in his pants. Thinking that could be a fine lanyap that would sweeten the close of this deal, I took the drink, making sure he felt my fingers subtly stroking his suggestively. I detected the desired response in those piercing pistachio peepers that left me standing shivering in my shimmies. So, how are we gonna play this?
'Twould seem this here atmosphere calls forth your baser instincts. That's good and all, but business should be fleshed out, for flesh is drawn across this avenue of your carnal cravings. So, what you want done, when, where, and by what means squares my route delivered? Pour l'éclair de l'univers du sang cher, ne vous parlez-vous vite.
Pulling me toward him roughly, his fire breath giving me frissons. This guy could mix up a whole mess of misère for me with his moody magnetism. When you deliver, you'll get the rest. He got there was more than cash on the table. His greedy greens drank in my curves like a wino waiting for his next fix. I slipped a paper into his hands. Where and where? I whispered in his ear. I felt him quiver as he pressed against me, casting a carnal cunha on me. Now, how about another shot, mon cher? Needing to calm my nerves, I took out a cigarette.
Beat it, Toots. My plate's full, and I've got a lot of leather to burn.
Excellent, Bob. Excellent piece, you two. Very well done.
That was quite the production piece from Stelina. So,
absolutely.
Or, Kate, what do you think?
Va-va-voom. I liked it. Yes, that was incredible. Your voice, Rex, I have to say, you need to adopt that particular accent all the time. It may hurt your throat a little, but believe me, you'll be getting lots of likes. I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was so cool. I really enjoyed it. And Stelina, oh my, you were right. The production, I could hear the frogs. I could hear the, I didn't know that, was it crocodiles or alligators? I didn't know they made that kind of noise. Wow.
That's alligator.
It's an alligator. Oh, I put in once, see you later, something like Kakagator or something. I made it all up. And poor spell check went into some frenzy. Couldn't figure out what the heck I was trying to say. I love doing that. Anyway, upside down. You know, it said I had said I have a sweet tooth. And it tried to make me put in I had a lovely tooth or a desirable tooth.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I love doing it. I do it for fun. It's so much fun. Okay, yeah, so back to this wonderful piece of this drama, this hello there. I thought it was beautifully, beautifully done. I really enjoyed it. And it was very smooth. You know, the production of it alone, it must have been such a job. I mean, she's so talented, so clever. Loved it. So, yes, as I say, keep that accent. We want that accent. There are people here who desperately want that accent. It's so cool. I didn't know you had it in you. I didn't know you had it in you, as the saying goes. Perfect. So thank you so much for that. And thank you, Stelina. Wonderful job.
As Katie said, yeah. All right, Jean, how about you?
Well, I'm going to answer that in a second, but just so you know, we have Laurent on the line, so I just picked him up. Laurent,
cool.
Did you hear this piece?
I heard it. I couldn't figure out where I was when I called. I thought I was in a movie theater. Now, I always knew that Rex was a hard-boiled dick, and this absolutely proves it. You know, best private eye in the business.
You got what?
You don't know the shorthand for that, huh? That's slang for a private detective, like Raymond Chandler. Were you guys shooting for that particular type of story? If so, you succeeded.
Yes, Stelina wanted to dip her toes into noir, so I thought, okay, let's have a bit of fun. I went for the same thing, but I didn't go for the detective angle. This was a little bit something different.
Okay, like I said, I was a little lost when I started listening to it. I couldn't figure out where I was. And then by the time I found the actual lyrics, well, it was pretty much over. But what I heard was pretty stunning. Between her sultry dialogue, shall we say, and your soft drawl, you really took the listener to a place that he did not anticipate. The production values are getting better and better in these things, and you guys are pretty stunning performers to have put this on. This is really quite excellent.
All right. Thank you, Laurent. All right, Jean, I guess we're coming to you.
Yes, you are. I thought this was just excellent work by the two of you. A great noir piece. You know, I love the language all throughout. I mean, you guys, you know, hit all the notes. Fabulous production, as has been said, you know, but it was just an incredible piece, and I really enjoyed it very, very much. So great job, the two of you. You know, it was yeah, amazing. You guys are great together with these. And I'm assuming we'll have a part three.
Hint, yes. Hint, hint.
Wink, wink, hint.
Oh, yes,
yeah.
There is a part
yeah.
three. There needs to be.
Very
you don't
cool.
Know,
right?
Don't know what the draw is because the whatchamacallit, the MacGuffin hasn't been revealed.
Yeah. Well, when we get them all together, maybe we'll put them all one after another on a show one night and we'll just let them run. That'd be nice. I like it. Anyway,
yes,
I will.
This has stunned me. Like, listening to it, I heard all of what she. I even heard she even when she got to the part with the me pouring out the bourbon. I heard the ice cubes clinking in the glass. I thought, damn, that was perfect.
Yep. Yeah. She has a great eye for detail when it comes to the audios. It's pretty cool. That's one thing, you know, that her work is always fully fine details. This one seemed to have more, but definitely I think she had fun with it. I think that's really what it is. She found it to be fun and challenging. So it's a great job, really an excellent piece by the two of you. For sure, for sure. Okay. So. Kate, I think I'm coming to you for the next one. The piece is called Conscience by Darkened Auras. So
okay.
Whenever you're ready.
Okay, my darling, just give me a moment. I've been playing about here. I will be with you momentarily. This won't take long. Got it. I get so excited when things go right. It's so cool. Okay, Conscience by Darkened Auras. A howling breath wakes the hair on my neck after hearing the shutter door creaking open in the night. Her silhouette creeps in. Why did I have to die? The haunting echo whispers, sends shivers of fright. I'm watching her inch closer, too paralyzed to move. The fresh scent of wet soil permeates from her as she brings the outside rainstorm inside to me. I'm sick, I think. Is death my only cure? I close my eyes tightly, wishing this just a hallucination, proclaiming loudly, "You're not real, go away." Open my eyes to nothing and laugh. Wow, what a day it's been today. I turn over to see what time it is and scream, scrambling out of bed. Her body was there, covered in blood, dirt, messed up hair, and I crashed to the floor, hitting my head. She shuffled to the edge and looked down at me, opening her mouth very wide. "Why did you kill me?" she wailed. "I didn't kill you," I lied. I knew I had said the wrong thing to her as her eyes turned black and she furrowed her brow. "Lies. You think I don't know the truth? Well, I've come for my payback now." Pure panic painstakingly pierced my gut. Finally, fear fiercely followed behind. And I knew this was the end for me. I knew I was in quite a bind. I guess the moral of the story, if you kill someone, make sure your conscience is dead, or they may come back to visit you while you try to sleep in your bed. End poem.
Great read, Kate. Thank you very much. All right, Laurent, why don't we kick it off with you? What do you think?
It seemed to be a pretty difficult poem to rhyme. She carried it off quite nicely. But the read is excellent, by the way. It seems to be a common theme in the first few things I've heard tonight here. They're interesting stories that are dark and full of texture, as this one is. I'm intrigued by the premise. Here, and I love the language. I'm watching her inch closer, too paralyzed to move. The fresh scent of wet soil permeates from her As she brings the outside rainstorm to inside to me, I'm sick. I think of death my only cure. Well, when you're thinking death is the only cure, you're right at the end of your rope. It is an interesting, dark piece that she did quite well.
Nice. Thank you. And Jean, what about you?
This is a bit haunting, you know, to say the least. I thought there was a great use of alliteration in here, and the story was very well told. I looked at, you know, she shuffled to the edge and looked down at me, opening her mouth very wide. "Why did you kill me?" she wailed. "I didn't kill you," I lied. I knew I had said the wrong thing to her as her eyes turned black and she furrowed her brow. "Lies, you think I don't know the truth? Well, I've come for my payback now." Ooh, I don't know. I don't think I've been crazy enough that if I killed somebody, I would look at their ghost and, "I didn't kill you." Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Sure. Like they don't know. But it really was a little bit unnerving, unsettling. That's a good word, unsettling. But nicely done. I love the alliteration throughout. It was just enough, almost enough to trip you up, right, Kate? I was like,
oh yeah.
I felt bad. I'm like, oh no, I had no idea there was that much in there. But just really, really nicely penned, and the tale was well told. So great job, Dolphin Doris, and thanks for sharing.
Mm-hmm. Great comments, everyone. Thank you. This is a nice dark tale. Hits on that note of Shakespeare brought forward. I like that note. Howling breath wakes the hairs on my neck after hearing the shut doors creaking open in the night. A silhouette creeps in. "Why did I have to die?" A haunting echo whisper sends shivers of fright. Nice opening roll. And then that thought, I'm watching her inch closer to paralyzed and move. A succubitic throw in that, but that's not where it's going because it gets darker. You're not real, go away. Wow, what a day it's been. The thought of I'm been dreaming. And reality hits as he rolls over. Her body was there, covered in blood, dirt, messed up hair. And I crashed to the floor, hitting my head. Not an easy task making this a rhymer, too, all the way through. I'm still holding the note of the haunting angle to this piece. So, nicely done, DA. Thank you very much.
Very good. Okay, Laurent, I have the next one up for you. It's called Please Stop Caring About Me by Ben Hunt. So, whenever you're ready.
All right. Please stop caring about me. The family man. Love me you may, but kill me you will. I know it. One day you'll get sick of how I cannot sit still at the dinner table. Then I'll see it coming, but I'll do nothing. Because you'll have your reasons, and you know I wouldn't survive you leaving either way. At least now you get to see what it's like to watch the light in my eyes. And you'll do me the honor of saying goodbye and not have to suffer in my swaying or watch our love decay. And you'll sit with me on the floor, stroking my hair, singing something sad, telling me I don't have to be scared anymore, because there were only tender eyes coming, and it will be the best end someone's ever had. The camel man. The noxious smoke rolls into the back of my throat like Hokusai's great wave. Something to expel with a sigh and a clattering chest as I finish the pack I bought just yesterday. Who said I don't see things through? The laughing man. Do our characters go to heaven when they die? When we do? Because if so, there's at least some place in this mad vacuum where Heath kept his word. But they were, in fact, destined to do this forever. The beloved man. Darling, why won't you let me smoke when the day gets away from me? Darling, will you learn that I'm damned, a man unfit for the dirt? Darling, don't go laying angels in my grave. I don't need someone taking the place I was saving, just in case. Darling, will you please stop dancing? These pants haven't seen rain in some 30, these parts haven't seen rain in some 30 years. And if God ever did give a shit, he'd surely stop listening since to our every pagan prayer. Darling, please stop caring. Leave me there down the well of tears and spit and toss me a coin on throwaway days. I'll do my best to grant you your wish. Ever find out if existence is bliss or if that's just something you say till the day starts to get away from you again? The creative man, are you okay? You know I was until you asked. I'm not so sure. Because you asked me once if I ever felt something for a woman. You caught me off guard, trying to paint over a gallery you loved looking in on in your exile at the dark. But somehow you found yourself hiding in every piece of my art. A man who dares imagine, welcome to the wild side, where we're all adults with their arms out, pretending the sidewalk edge is a tightrope. It only ends when our balance shifts back to lesser imaginings. End poem.
Thank Great you. Reading, Ross. Thank you very much. All right, Kate, we're going to hit it off with you to start.
Oh, thank you so much. Always a pleasure. As usual, Ben gives us a beautiful piece of artwork, and we are taken through what's happening to him in his life. He doesn't want anybody to care about him because that puts the onus on him to do the right thing or to care more or whatever. But he doesn't want that. He doesn't want people to care about him. That gives him permission, perhaps, not to care about anybody else or not to worry. And you'll sit on my floor, stroking my hair, singing something sad, telling me I don't have to be scared anymore because there were only tender tides coming and it will be best. It will be the best end someone's ever had. That doesn't sound too great, does it? Yeah, this is a very deep, very interesting, very thoughtful right. I think someone is looking deep into their own conscience and soul and mind and putting it out there for us to read. And I think it was very well done. And thank you so much for sharing.
All right, thank you, Kate. And Jean, how about you?
I am awesome. Very cool. I'm just going to buy myself some time. Most excellent write. I thought each vignette was so well written. I do have to say I took a liking. I don't know if a liking is really the right word. I liked the part about the family man. I thought that was a great way to lead into this wonderful poem. You know, love me you may, but kill me you will. I know it. One day you'll get sick. How I cannot sit still at the dinner table. That's just a great lead-in stanza within that vignette. And then, you know, not that there was anything wrong with the other ones, but the beloved man, I kind of took a shine to that specific vignette as well. I thought that was intriguing in a lot of ways. And it was just a really, really well done piece as usual with Ben. And I just found it intriguing and very well put together. So thank you, Ben, for sharing with us, as always. Great lines, great poem, you know, great ending. The whole thing is just it was just really awesome. So thanks for sharing.
All right. Thank you, Jean. All right, Laura, you got to read it. How about you?
Yeah, Ben tackled a tough subject here, a love that is evaporating, perhaps a relationship that is ending, a realization that what he had is somehow coming to an end, and it's divided up so interestingly into the vignettes that Jean mentioned, the reasons why he feels that she was not going to love him anymore. The camel man, when he talks about the noxious smoke rolls into the back of my throat like vocalized great wave, and then that's a great painting. I'm sure everyone is familiar with it, and if you don't recognize it, it's, if you saw it, you'd recognize it. It's a fascinating painting. And it's short, and it should be. Something to expel with a sigh and a clattering chest that finished the pack I bought just yesterday. Who said I don't see things through? It's all tongue-in-cheek there, kind of a grim realism. Of course, he'll see things through. That pack is already gone, and he's smoking it pretty fast. It indicates a certain level of concern, of nervousness, perhaps. And as he goes through, talking to his darling, and says, "Will you please stop dancing these parts? I haven't seen rain in some 30 years. And if God ever did give a shit, he surely stopped listening since our every pagan prayer." He's acknowledging something there, the power of the spirit in dancing, trying to bring about rain, perhaps. And that of course, is fruitless. It does not. It really doesn't work. And, the relationship is really on the edge, so to speak. And he addresses this in the last one, "Welcome to the wild side, where we're all adults with our arms out." You know, you pretend when you're a child to walk a thin line, and you can't go left and you can't go right. You're kind of stuck walking that sidewalk edge. This is a nice metaphor for living a relationship in real life, and the dangers that come from that relationship and its final end. Like I said, it's a tough subject, but he tackled it really, really well. Chapter and verse, fine poetics, lovely piece.
Absolutely great comment, Bill. There's quite a bit in this to unpack, and it does, that opening does kind of off the family man, the killing off of that which is them, so to speak, and he rolls through that with some nice lines to finish that first stanza, because there were only tender times coming, and it will be the best someone's ever had. A note of finality in that. And then that thought of, again, finality with the camel man. As I finished the pack I bought yesterday, who said I don't see things through? And then with the laughing man, do our characters go to heaven? And then he offers at the back end of this, where he kept his word that they were in fact destined to do this forever. But the conversation or the act between the two is kind of a rolling note that keeps getting in the way, and he doesn't want, yes, he doesn't want anybody to care for him. But at the back end of this, where you love looking in on from your exile in the dark, because somehow you found yourself hiding in every piece of my art. Well, that offers up the thought that even though he's asking for someone not to care, that he's caring enough to put something of her into everything that he paints. And the back end of this, the last one, the man who dares imagine, the wild side, we're all adults with their arms out, pretending the sidewalk edge is tightrope. That only ends when our balance shifts back to lesser imaginings. The thought of being high in the moment with that love and the caring, yet it can be a tightrope. And walking that edge, somewhere along the line, you're bound to either fall off into the deep pit of blues, or either way, it ends badly because you can no longer walk that line. So nicely done there, Ben. And quite the piece in vignettes. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay. Well, my next pen's magic trick. And God, I hope it's a magic trick, because I hope I don't trip up all over this. This is a piece by Soap Hole. Oh, my God. Hope Soul.
That was good.
Talk about that note. Yo, where the hell were you going with that one?
I don't know. My brain just went backwards. This piece is called "If Love Wasn't" by Hope Soul. Well, I hope I can read the poem better than that. If this glass that was once filled with red wine became empty, just know the imprints of your lips, line for line, will forever stay. On a dying day, when this belly is no longer filled with your words, unknowingly succumbs to the shifts of tides, where amber bottles of negro nudlo crash against white waves that break, washing near, tossing afar. Lay the ashes of us at the tombstone pile of crushed filtered tobacco smokes that slipped from fishermen's dirty fingers whose backs were too sore to take a knee, bowing down to lament. If this body ever became not your body, in turn your body never again being ours, take that finger that once hushed the howling and let the spirit weep. Lay flowers on La Llorona's grave. Try to untangle two bound bodies with rusted scythes owned by the reaper. Palomar knot rips apart to set the bluebird free, snuffing out this heart to carry the moon for you. I pray that day never arrives when I said, "Spear me ultimo, be my last." I meant it. Those are more than the words of a poet. Everyone, every ounce of this indigenous Hispanic woman, Miss Curvis Nenecetan. Mad poet, I ask you to drink forever this maracura. Kick and swirl your limbs in waves of meal, resting on shores of Corpus Christi sands. Guarda mil perla, por favor. And poem. Web. Sorry, Hope.
Great read, Jean. Thank you very much. All right, Laurent, why don't you kick this off?
Yeah, but there's much to fear in love. And in this particular piece, where is it? Oh, on a dying day, when this belly is no longer filled with your words, unknowingly succumbs to the shifting tides, where amber bottles of Negro Midlo crash against white waves that break, washing near, tossing afar, lay the ashes of us at the tombstone pile of crushed, filtered tobacco smokes. I could swallow one long sentence. I could keep on reading it. But what a look at the way love sometimes lies dead and dying. The ashes of us in the tombstone pile. I love those lines. And the reference to the fisherman's dirty fingertips is really quite moving. When the poet says, if this body ever became not your body, in turn, your body never again being ours. I love the dichotomy of one body, two bodies, becoming one body again. It's really quite good. I'm not quite sure where La Llorona figures into this particular piece, but the last stanza, mad poet, I ask you to drink forever this maracuya, pick and swirl your limbs in waves of miel or honey, resting on shores of Corpus Christi sands, guarda mi perla, por favor, is a nice expression of the Spanish. And I believe I read where she has a Spanish heritage, and that was well worked into the poem, whose title, If Love Wasn't, is a great title. He gives a hell of a peek at the heart of this particular piece, so well written.
Nice. Thank you, Laurent. And Kate, how about you?
Oh, yes, this was beautiful. Again, we have that wonderful shaping and the curves of the lines. Just beautiful. And I thought, yes, I really enjoyed it. Such depth of caring, knowing that you would be halved, you would be sliced in half if you weren't together. That's just so powerful. But I do love those first few lines. I thought they just set everything up so perfectly. If this glass that was once filled with red wine became empty, just know the imprints of your lips, line for line, will forever stay. Yeah, that is, thank you so much for sharing this, because it is a wonderful, a lovely love poem, and I really enjoyed it, Hope. Thank you.
Nice. And Jean, you got to read it. How about you?
Well, I thought, besides me screwing up with Spanish, I'm glad Laurent kind of fixed all that up, because I really was like starting to back up. I thought I was going to really, really laugh it up. But beautifully written, nicely penned to the chosen contest, which was Love and Loss. And I thought it was just really well done. Now, I have to agree with Kate. I picked the same kind of spot as she did. I just took it a little further. If this glass that was once filled with red wine became empty, just know the imprint of your lips, line for line, will stay forever. Will forever stay. On a dying day, when this belly is no longer filled with your words, unknowingly succumbs to the shifts of tides, where amber bottles of Negra Negro crash against the white waves that break, washing near, tossing afar, lay the ashes of us. What I just thought that was just wonderfully done. And I thought that alone met that contest prompt. And just a beautiful job, Hope. And thank you so much for sharing with us tonight. And, yeah, I can't wait to read more next week. I'm always saying. Okay, hon, thank you so much, and great job.
Great comments, everybody, too. I like that the back end of that first long stanza from the fisherman's dirty fingers, whose backs were too sore to take and move, bowing down to lament, if this body ever became not your body, in turn, your body never again being ours. Take that finger that once touched the howling and let the spirit weep. Lay flowers on La Llorona's grave. That's a nice touch there. La Llorona, the woman in white, so to speak, the ghost that haunts. And then she also hits on the note of, I can't find it. Well, anyway, that was a note too. It's a fishing knot, the sure a lure. And I prayed that day never arrives when I said, "Ser mi ultimo, be my last." I meant it. Those are more than the words of a poet. Every ounce of this indigenous Hispanic woman is curvis de necessitan, mad poet. I should drink forever. What a lovely piece. That opening, as Jane read, was a great lead-in to this. And it does offer up that note of what once was, but now is not. Nicely done, Hope. Thank you very much. All right, Jean.
Very
coming to you.
Okay, Rex. Well, I'm going to bounce it back to you, because I have one here by Nuno Cardoso. And this is called A Poem That You Don't Want to Read. Whenever you're ready.
Okay. That's a great title, Solomon.
Right.
A Poem That You Don't Want to Read by Nuno Cardoso. The weather today is manic in Portugal. At 9 a.m., the sun is bright and hot, and it grins between each crack of his teeth. 20 minutes later, when all the teeth crack due to the nature of the smoke-colored clouds that rain hard for every day lost in the mud of life. They appear suddenly, just like a dogwood to the sound of a jingle or a tingle of his metal leash, much like this poem has on your computer or your laptop screen. Maybe one day it will invade the pages of a book that I wrote, as it was about to downpour in my room, all over the walls, in my carpet, or maybe at work. Who knows? Or maybe it will never show its face, ever. Doubt it, then. At particular times when I can't get any sleep, no matter how many pills I pop, or how much rain sound recordings I blast in my headset, or spank the monkey to memories of king-sized California jungle beds, back where guns and freedom are prioritized over health care. No wonder people say that I look like I live inside my head in my crystal palace. I'm somewhat similar to the weather, you know, the same one that plagues my home. It plagues me, my family, and my animals, and my neighbors, and my shoes, and my hands, and my hair, and my belly, and my nutsack. Yes, it does. Every time I ignore the faceless mannequins that try to pry open the very tender World Wide Web envelope messages. I ignore the ones from people I don't know, the ones that I do as well, and the ones who left me burning in the oven that for some odd reason think we can sit at a park bench together and talk about life, wives, kids, pebbles, or booze, marbles, smokes, or collar tightropes just because they have read a poem or two, or the ones who think when I write dark humor that I'm attempting to crack open a beer with them. No, it's more like I want to crack a skull with a cheap wine bottle right below their nose and above their upper lip. I like it there. It's a nice spot to end this poem. End poem. All right, Laurent, why don't we start with you?
Yeah, the poems tonight seem to be of a certain theme, the theme of a singular expression of life. In when I say non-poetic, it doesn't follow the traditional poetic forms, if you will. It's more like not an abstract narrative, but a narrative with images that can be construed as somewhat abstract. Especially, for instance, they appear suddenly just like a dog would to the sound of a jingle or a tingle of his metal leash, much like this poem has on your computer or your laptop screen. Maybe one day will invade the pages of a book that I wrote. Now, that's not abstract per se, but it takes a moment to realize exactly what's going on with this particular poem. It has a flavor of well, not quite the beat poets, but something fairly close to that. It's very real. It's very gritty. It's very personal. The ending really made me smile. No, it's more like I want to crack a skull with a cheap wine bottle right below their nose and above their upper lip. I like it there. It's a nice spot to end this poem. Kind of breaking that fourth wall and coming out of the poem and back into real life. Well done.
Excellent. Thank you, Laurent. And Kate, how about you?
As usual, incredibly clever and interesting. And it flowed so well. Yes, it was. It was more like musings, just having my say, as it were, which I thought was very well done. I kind of relate to part of this stanza, not all of it, at particular times when I can't get any sleep, no matter how many pills I pop or how much rain sound recordings I blast in my headset. That makes me think of my nights, exactly what happens to me. I think it's the thought of lying down to go to sleep that freaks you out, and then you go, well, I don't really want to do that. And anything you try, nothing works. But I thought it was very intriguing, a glimpse into a life which everybody enjoys. We're all incredibly curious about everybody else, and very well done. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
Bless you. All right, Kate, thank you.
Thank you.
Jean, how about you?
You know, I like this piece. It had a lot of great imagery throughout, different areas, different thoughts running through. I thought it was nicely expressed. I was looking because I was trying to pick up the spot. I'm somewhat similar to the weather, you know, the same one that plagues my home. It plagues me, my family, and my animals, and my neighbors, and my shoes, and my hands. And my hand, and my belly, and my nutsack. Yes, it does. Every time I ignore your faceless mannequins that try to pry open that the very tender World Wide Web envelope messages. You know, I don't think he missed anything. I don't think so. And if he did, please don't tell me what it was. But it just has, he's like, it's all encompassing. And I think that makes it somewhat intriguing because it's like he's enveloped in his thoughts here, you know. And I appreciate that much, you know, for sure. I could have grabbed a whole different section, you know. We got booze, marbles, smokes, and collar tight rope, you know. But, I have to agree with Laurent, you know, the end of it is, you know, more like I want to crack his skull with it. Bottle of wine, you know. So I thought that was, I don't know. It just seems kind of raw, kind of real. So And I mean, not that he wants to really beat somebody in the head with a bottle of wine, but one never knows, right? But I thought you did a great job, Nuno, and very well done. Clever, clever piece. Absolutely.
As you said, I think Laurent hit that right with raw and edgy. There is that note to this, but more importantly, that opening line sets the tone and pace for the whole thing. The weather today is manic in Portugal. At 9 a.m., the sun is bright and hot, and it grins between each crack of its teeth. Just a week, 20 minutes later, when all teeth crack due to the nature of the smoke-colored clouds that rain hard for every day lost in the mud of life. So not only is you got the sort of the weather offering up a manic tone, so you get into that that idea of the mindset for the day, and then everything starts to cloud over a bit. Then you get deeper into the thoughts. In fact, that second stanza, they appear suddenly, just like a dog would to the sound of a jingle or a tingle of his metal leash, much like this poem has on your computer, which implies that note of sending messages, sending a poem, and you get that jingle on the other end of something, mail has arrived, so to speak, that idea. And then that sort of to downpour on my room all over the walls and my carpet, or maybe at work, who knows, or maybe it will never show its face ever. Doubt it, though. The kind of hits at the notion of writing, not being satisfied with screwing up the paper and rolling into another one because the thoughts aren't hitting right. So you've got this melange of stuff lying all over the place because the words are raining in your mind, but you're not quite getting it down on paper quite yet. But I did like that sort of that note to the World Wide Web was a great piece. The back end of this kind of hits on the notion of the dark humor that finishes off the piece because it starts off as manic and finishes just as manic in itself, offering up that note, how even weather can put you in a certain frame of mind to dig deep inside and then run through this and offer up all those thoughts which kind of walk along that very same line. So excellent there, Nuno. Thank you very much.
Okay. Kate, I have the next one up for you, Miss. This is by Casey Day, and it's called Silly Things.
Excellent. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yuck, thank you.
My pleasure. We could go on like this for hours. Right, just give me a moment while I refresh.
Okay.
I got it. Silly Things, Casey Day. I bet it gets lonely on such a high horse. Bet the air gets so thin, it hurts to breathe. Bet up there, you dream about silly things like me. End poem.
Great read, Kate. And Jean, I'm coming to you because I'm surprised you didn't say this yourself to begin with. But you like
well,
gravity.
I could not. I could not. That would not have been right, I guess. I know, since when do I ever worry about that, right? You know, I looked at the fortune cookie here, and now I wish I could read it. My eyeballs are untuned in. The mysterious side of your nature makes you almost alluring. Makes you most alluring. Wow, I can't read, I'm telling you. I bet it gets lonely on such a big, on such a high horse. Bet the air gets so thin it hurts to breathe. You know, when you, I guess, you know, what it comes down to me is when you think you're just above it all, you know, and, you know, when you're up there so above everyone else, you dream about silly things like me. It's you know, you look down upon someone and think that, but I don't know. I don't have anything to go on except for that fortune cookie, or fortune, from the fortune cookie. So, but it's a nice little brevity. And it has a point to it, a very pointed point, I would think. And well done, Casey. So thanks for sharing with us.
All right. Thank you, Jean. And Laurent, how about you?
The art of sarcasm is not dead yet. I bet it gets lonely on such a high horse. That's a thinly veiled accusation of someone who has a great opinion of themselves, and the mm-hmm. sarcasm, it just, it's thick. Beth the ear gets so thin, it breathes. And she casts herself as, of course, one of the silly things that he's dreaming about, not, you know. It's a skillful pen that knew exactly what to say.
Excellent. Thank you, Ron. And Kate, you got to read them.
Yes. I'm also reading the fortune cookie. That might be the winning numbers. Who knows?
There you go. That could be.
It could be. Aha. Anyway, I love the sarcasm, as you said. It, we do know there are people can get on their high horse. They can start making their thoughts known, whether they agree or disagree with the people around them. And that's their favorite thing to do. Look down on people, lecture people. They're mm-hmm. thinking they know best. And that is annoying. And yes, being so high up your own avenue, I suppose it might hurt to breathe. But yeah, I like that. You're no better than I am. You dream silly things. You dream scary things. You dream like me. Yeah, I like that. You can't escape your own id or ego or super ego. You are what you are, and it comes out no matter how hard you try to not let anybody see inside. So I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much. Very clever. Thank you, Casey.
Yes, short, sweet, deliberate, and does offer up, that's a warning note. It offers up a moral. You might think you're so high and mighty, but the fact is, being that note of high and mighty, you end up becoming the silly thing that you think is me itself. So I like that note. Nicely done, Casey. All right, Jean.
Okay. Laurent, keep pinching yourself.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. The next piece I'm going to put up is by Titus Llewellyn. It's called A Double Bass Last Stand. Double bass last stand. Something like that. I don't know. He'll tell me. Here we go. And I have an audio for that. Oh, here we go.
A double bass last stands. Held beside a silent stair to remind you by. The double bass had idled somewhat upon the longest wait. There begins a slow sigh in which to draw a bow, by then it had gone, as tried may explain the lowliest times. A bass, alas, the sound was now down low, so low in fact it was a somber climb, to find that lowly pitch, I dare say do, harmless as will it lighten the heavy lay. The weight of any heartbreak I'll beware, until the day breaks through to the end of the day. Time moves on, with a moment to spare, a double bass it was, and I, its stooge, raising my hand it plucked a timber note, before it raised all hope it'd be this huge, an encore, with a shirt and tiny waistcoat, resounding praise upon the heavy load. I doubt the bass had hardly said a word before there was the willingness to goad a conscious thought which it overheard. The warmth of heart has felt it had been touched upon these laurels, though thought would lay a restful palm, able and keen, and must I remain so ungainly in thought? Behold, all doubt does movement allow until it cannot move no more. A stand to which to make the curtain call now raises a question a bow will command.
Great read, Titus. Thank you for SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And Kate, you want to kick us off?
Oh, yes. The double bass is just, it's that instrument that you feel the notes in your chest when it's played. And I really love that. I mean, I did see somebody who was a comedian who took one on stage with him and did the most amazing, clever things whilst being very funny. So that's nothing to do with this. I do apologize. It just reminded me. Yes, it is a low and somber note. But once it's found, it's just wonderful. You can then enjoy. Yes, I really thought this was very evocative, very interesting. And also, there's a sort of a love thing with this double bass. It's really enjoyed. So thank you for sharing that with us.
All right. Thank you, Kay. And Ron, how about you?
In the image, the top of the poem, it looks like he makes the double bass look almost as big as a piano, almost. So the player is leaning over the top of it. You know, the double bass is, I guess, not an instrument that a lot of people are familiar with or might think of as the first string instrument that they would like to listen to. But it's there, always providing the beat, always providing the low tones at exactly the right time. Where is this? As try, it may explain the lowliest times. A bass, elastic sound, was now down low, so low, in fact, it was a somber climb to find that lowly pitch, I dare say, he has to climb up to find low. Now that's the lowest right there. It's a very clever stanza, a very clever piece, much more familiar to me in form than some of the other writings we've heard tonight. All good, but a welcome return to a form that, quite frankly, we don't see much anymore. He always writes in a very traditional way, his use of language, very classical. Yet there are bits of it that are ineffably modern, which I do like. As always, Titus gives us a good piece.
Excellent. Thank you, Laurent. All right, Gene, how about you? Are you...
I done did it.
We don't want to talk about it anymore. The mutation.
We don't want to talk about it anymore. None of us over here on this side. I thought it was a great write by Titus. Well penned and expressed. Wonderful wording throughout, as always, you know. But I picked up here, held beside a silent stare to remind you by the double bass, had idled somewhat. Upon the longest wait, there begins a slow sigh in which to draw a bow. By then, it is gone. And then it leads into the stanza that Laurent had quoted. And I have to say that was, you know, it's just a very well-done piece. You know, as always, because Titus does have a classic sound to his poetry, and as was said. But nicely done, as always, Titus, and thanks for sharing. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. It was that opening note, held behind a silent stare to remind you by, the double bass had idled somewhat upon the longest wait. There begins a slow sigh in which to draw a bow, and then it's gone. A nice note there of getting a slight introduction, but then by the time you get around to noticing, that is it gone because it's not in its main harness once more. And I like that there's a running four stanzas down. A double bass it was, and I, its stooge, raising my hand to pluck the timber notes. Before it raised, I'll hope it'd be this huge, an encore with a shirt and tiny waistcoat. Oof. What a nice stanza that was. And then it rolls back with the last stanza, finishes out with the bow once more, to which to make the curtain call now, raises the question, a bow will command. You could offer up, that finishes off with the rolling right back to the first stanza, but you could ring that bow as a bow, as in wood, because it is all about the wood to begin with. You get the sounds from the richness of the wood and how it is laid out and put together. So nicely done, Titus. And back to you, Gene.
Okay, I'm going to read this next one. And this is called Funny, But I Can't Pronounce Her Name, by T. Stitch. And this is from our Tuesday show for the music. So let me get started here. Creative writing ain't foreign to me. Seems I've become an incredible wit. But there is a chick pulling strings here, you see. guiding me along, penning hit after hit. And shucks, she's a goddess. You'd think that's unique. I can't say her name because it's written in Greek. Met her one morning in history class, her and her sisters, while reading a book. Mythical muses, the nine there in mass, daughters of Zeus. Well, now, that's all it took. I was inspired to write poetry by Miss Whatchamacallit, muse of comedy. She was the fun one who made people laugh, so charismatic and cutesy to boot. In my mind, she became my much better half. I ain't all that pretty, but damn, I'm the hoot. And all thanks to her, man, it's hip to be cool. To hear folks in camp, what a poetic tool. Inspiring for a shizzle, I'm one humbled bard. Oh, sing to me, muse. Wait a minute. Okay, hang on. I screwed up somewhere. I'm going to start this stand over. She was fun. She was the fun one who made people laugh, so charismatic and cutesy to boot. In my mind, she became my much better half. I ain't all that pretty, but damn, I'm a hoot. And all thanks to her, man, it's hip to be cool. I hear folks in Kent, what a poetic tool. Inspiring for shizzle, I'm one humbled bard. Oh, sing to me, muse, help me to cultivate. Comedy comes easy, it's my calling card. When her by my side, gee, I think that she's great. So here's to Greek myths, may the laughs never cease, with Miss Whatchamacallit, my goddess from Greece. End quote. I don't know where I thought
great
I messed up.
Thank you very much. Yeah. And Laurent, why don't we start with you?
That she does have a real skill at comedy, and I'm right with him. This whatchamacallit. When I saw the names for the muses in that poem contest, I had to laugh because I kept trying to pronounce the Greek alphabet in my mind, and I could not. I didn't know which which muse was which. So there's something to be said for translating the names, but he knew which one it was by Miss Whatchamacallit, muse of comedy. She was the fun one who made people laugh, so charismatic and cutesy to boot. I think he was taking a little look at himself. I imagine someone who writes like Keith Stitch does has that kind of personality that would lend itself to writing the way he does. It does a frank look at himself, and the entire poem is a hoot because it's exactly what he's all about, the comedy. Nicely done.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Rob. And Kate, how about you?
I thought this was incredibly good. I enjoyed it. So clever, so funny. You can't really call anything out. Every stanza. I think it'll be the one that everybody aspires to. She was the fun one who made people laugh, so charismatic and cutesy to boot. In my mind, she became my much better half. I ain't all that pretty, but damn, I'm a hoot. Love it. It's so smooth. It just glides, which is a delight to listen to well. So I thought this was incredibly funny and very clever. And thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Thank you, Kate. Jean, how about you?
You know, I thought this was a fun piece by T. Stitch. And just for the record, over in that contest, the top nine where you see all nine together, their names are written in English. just trying to dig myself out of a hole. The individual pictures were all written in Greek. So, just say it.
Oh.
But I thought, I thought this was fun and well done, and I really enjoyed it. You know, because he is a master of comedy writing. So, this really did suit the muse perfectly, in my book. So, great job, T. Stitch, and thank you so much for sharing and entering our contest. Thank you.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Thank you, guys. Yeah, he does take a bite in there, sort of a number of things like the third line of opening stanza. But there is a chick pulling strings here, you see. Nice opening thought to, okay, Miss Whatchamacallit, but hey, she's still a chick. And then that the thought of being a hoot, But that last line in the third stanza, I thought was a nice touch, throwing a little shade on himself, so to speak. And all thanks to her, man, it's hip to be cool, to hear folks in Ken. What a poetic tool. Boy, that's there's a double entendre note to that, of being ribbed for being a tool, but also for the fact that, hey, it's a poetic tool to offer up humor as part of your angle. So it is well played, T. Thank you very much. This was enjoyable.
Absolutely. Okay. Let me see now. Okay, the next piece I'm going to put up, Laurent, I'm going to put this up for you. It's called Songs of Euterpe by Louie Wildove. And this also is from the Muse contest.
Yeah, no, she knew how to pronounce the goddess's name. Songs of Euterpe. Neath starry, velvety sparkles, played musical notes, gifted, stars twinkling, particles sparkling, rivers, I sing, masterpiece hymns. Lyrics confess desire, exhaled happiness, expressed muse bruise, blues hues, ruse water lilies muse, forests. Hark, wander feathered, plumy downy clouds, curved lips gently blow, joyously tinkling languages, swirling, whispering the lyrical amours, laced in four sacred springs. Winged Pegasus, lacing spring's florals on thy beauteous legs, mount Helicon, your stamped hooves pounded beats upon my being. Crown, goddess of lyric poetry, laurel wreath, flutes and panpipes. Simon, river god, aroused by melodic pipes, artful finger, lovingly traced riverbeds, water lilies, lotus, water forget-me-nots, draped by sensuous aeas, ancient water chambers, melodious breezes, bird, giver of delights, cherished Greek music. And
great read, Laurent. Thank you very much. And Jean, why don't we start with you?
Because I wasn't typing fast enough. I thought this was just a beautiful piece by Louie. Wonderful imagery throughout and fabulous. But where did it go? Here it is. There's just so many beautiful lines in here. Her imagery is always wonderful. Neath starry velvety sparkles played musical notes, gifted stars twinkling, particles sparkling, rivers I sing, masterpiece hymns, lyrics confessed desired, exhaled happiness, breast muse, bruise, blues, hues, ruse, water lily, lilies, muse, chorus. Just beautiful lines and language. Lewis is wonderful with that. She can always, I don't want to say add a sensual note, but it's so pleasant to the ear, and visually it's so pleasant whenever she writes. And I find this to just be another fabulous piece of hers. It's wonderful, as I said, wonderful imagery and thoughts. So thank you so much, Lou, for writing for the contest. Wonderful job. Wonderful job.
Thank you, Jean. Okay, how about you?
Yes, I've always loved her work. It is just gentle and sensual, but she is describing everything so beautifully that you can see it. You can actually see the starry velvety sparkles, played musical notes, gifted stars twinkling, particles sparkling, rivers I sing. Really is. It's lovely. It's sweet, and it's neat. And it's not a wasted word. And the words she uses are also beautiful. So, yes, I really enjoyed this. Such a clever write and such a sweet one. And thank you so much for sharing.
All right. Thank you, Kate. Laurent, you got to read. How about you?
It was a simply lovely piece by Lu Yu. It's a lyrical tribute to Yu Ter. She who reminds me of her, of Lu Yu, for truly he must be her muse. This poem is testament to what can be created in her name. Which stands in a quote. I actually quoted winged Pegasus, lacing spring's florals upon thy beauteous legs. Mount Helicon, your stamped hooves, pounded beats upon my being. Crown, goddess of lyric poetry, laurel wreath, fluted panpipes. Beautifully described, not using full sentences at all, but phrases that pop up associated with other phrases give this particular piece its own cachet. I love the reference to Helicon. It's some wonderful figures in mythology that don't see the light of day that often. That was one of them. I love her work, and I love this poem.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, everyone. All right, there's one little touch that really sparked me. Expressed muse brews, blues hues bruise, water lilies muse, chorus. Hark! Wander feathered plumy downy clouds. Curved lips gently blow, joyously tinkling languages, swirling, whispering lyrical amours, based in four sacred songs. It was a nice touch. I love that flow of the alliteration to start with, but by the time you get there, it's almost it intimates a touch of sensuality without dipping into it. So that was nicely done, Lu Yu. All right, Jean, we're coming back to you.
That's okay. I'm almost ready for you to be here to tap my shoulder. Let me see what I have. Okay, Rex, I have this next piece for you to read. And this is called A Rather Lovely Muse by Red Summerton.
Erato, My Lovely Muse, Shakespearean song by Red Summerton. Of all the friends I've had throughout my life, none mirrors my muse, always by my side. She brings me inspiration through the strife and fills my heart with joy like a sweet tide. With her I roam through fields of endless thought and conquer mountains made of words and rhymes. She's always there when doubt my mind has wrought to help me find the words to make them shine. Her guidance has the power to ignite the deepest flames that stir inside my soul. With every verse, she brings my words to light and makes me feel that I am truly whole. My sidekick, my confidant, and my guide, my lovely muse, forever at my side. And poem. All right, Kate, we're going to kick it with you, too.
Okay, yes, this is a lovely. This is written. Such feeling as well. I love it. I just think it's a clever, taking that muse and making that muse the poem, which is great. And I also love the fact that I don't get this muse. I understand exactly what it is, and I understand what it's portraying, but I wouldn't call it that because, anyway, that's beside the point. It's got nothing to do with anything. I like that her guidance have the power to ignite the deepest flames that stir inside my soul. With every verse, she brings my words to light and makes me feel that I am truly whole. Well, that's a great thing to have, isn't it? That's something that makes you feel as if everything in your world is right. So I am very pleased you have your muse. Thank you so much for sharing.
Nice. Thank you, Kate. And Laurent, how about you?
This is just a guess based on the name Erato. Doesn't it have something to do with that part of a book that explains errors contained in the work? I think the phrase is erratum, maybe. I'm not sure. I used to know it. But age is stealing all my thoughts these days. I like what was done with this. None mirrors my muse, always by my side. You know, a good muse should be able to live in your pocket with you. You take her out when you need her, and she gives you offers you inspiration. Certainly not the case with me, but her guidance has the power to ignite the deepest flames that stir inside my soul. And it's true, when a muse is working for you properly, you don't have to think about what you're writing. The words pop into your head, and you're simply a machine transcribing them. And that's the way a muse should operate. Too often, though, they're stodgy, they're balky, and they give you little hints and then sit back and smile while you swerve in discomfort, trying to understand what it was you got to write. Great piece.
Thank you, Laura. And Jean?
You know, I thought this was a beautiful work by Red. Wonderful sonnet. But I had to take the first two stanzas of this. I mean, where else would I go to pull a stanza? And I kind of liked the first one, but then I was like, no, I have to throw in the second one. But of all the friends I've had throughout my life, none near as my muse, always by my side. She brings me inspiration through the strife and fills my heart with joy like a sweet tide. You know, just wonderful, wonderful lines. And I thought it was just really well done, and I really enjoyed it. So thank you for entering the contest, Red, and for sharing your work with us all here. Thank you, thank you.
Oh, thank you. Erato, the name literally means awakener of desire. So for this, it works great for Red, the note in desire to write. So.
Mm-hmm.
And sent the muse Arata, but Arata also walks not just in lyrical poetry as the god a muse of, but it also particularly erotic and eroticism within the poetry itself. So it walks a double foot in that angle of the desire, awakening the desire to offer up those words in and of itself, but also the erotic angle that comes with that muse itself. So a double play in what she offers up to both one's mind and one's offering. So nicely done, Red. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Jean. We're back to you.
Okay, awesome. Laurent, pinch yourself a few more times. Kate, I have this next piece for you. It's called Lyric of Lucy Lilac, too.
Okay, Lyric of Lucy Lilac. An elf of slight renown startled witches dead when her crafty clown abruptly turned to bread. When the sorry soul is emerald and lush, she lets all spirits boil as the snow can blush. Seasonally her lute enchants shady seeds, so they brightly root to be like rainbow beads. Together brooks and birds help blue flower rings when her orange words resound in silent spring. End poem.
Great read, Kate. Thank you very much. And Jean, we're going to start with you.
I thought this was just a lovely write by Luke. You know, his work is always so different. It always reminds me of being kind of, I don't know if it's really a right word, but sprightly. You know, it's kind of elfish, you know, just the piece of itself, you know what I mean? But an elf of slight renown startles witches dead when her grassy crown abruptly turns to bread. When the sorry soil is emerald and lush, she lets all spirits boil as the snow can blush. Clever lines and interesting thoughts throughout. And from what I see down in the AN, this is based on something he read of Garden Delight. So I thought it was pretty clever and nicely done. So thank you, Luke, for sharing with us. As always, it was a nice piece.
Thank you, Jean. Laurent, mm-hmm. How about you?
Seems like such a simple poem, and it really masks a depth and a complexity. Seems like we have a blue elf. Contrasting with an orange colored muse it is. At any rate, together brooks and birds help blue flowers ring when her orange words resound in silent spring. You know, I wonder about the phrase Silent Spring, name of a famous book about the way we kill birds and animals with our chemicals. Again, there's depth in here that I haven't quite figured out, but it's really well composed, and I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Nice. Thank you, Eloa. And Kate, you got to read it. How about you?
Oh yes, it was a delight to read. It's like an elf. It's just light, breezy, but with such a depth of meaning as well. When the sorry soil is emerald and lush, he lets all spirits boil as the snow can blush. Beautifully evocative. I really enjoyed this. And also, the first stanza was a cracker. An elf of slight renown stuffs the witches dead when her grassy crown abruptly turns to bread. Oh, blimey, that puts a new complexion on the meal is on me. Wonderful. Yes, I thought it was very clever. And I really enjoyed it. Anything to do with elves and spirits and such like, I have a soft spot for. So thank you, Jack Blue, for sharing.
Nice. Thank you. Next, taking what I think is, I look at the opening excerpt for Canterbury Tales, Marnet of Rome with the Shiva Sutra, the Doctor of Mars, Hathkesi Dinarota, and Baladevi Vane and Swish Liqueur, which virtue engendered a vision fleur. He's got that note in this because you look at that opening stanza, startled witches dread, dead. That note to killing off winter because you know that old saying, it's as cold as a witch's something or other.
Ooh.
And then the sorry soil, opening up that note to it's been blanched all winter long, but now is emerald and lush. She lets all the spirits boil as the snow can blush, offering up that note. Hey, you pale in comparison to what I am now offering. And then seasonally her lute enchants shady seas. Hey, rebirth coming anew, that note of spring, its silent emergence, and the color which offers up around it. So I like this. Something a little bit different. I like it, Jack. Thank you.
Lots of
Oh, right, I heard Laurent's voice. Okay, you pinched yourself enough. Now I have another poem for you, Laurent. It's called My Muse. Whenever you're ready.
You know, I will sit here and smile as you offer some gentle sarcasm. I was supposed to read this last week, but fell asleep probably somewhere around 20 after 11. Obviously,
I
was not there for the...
Everything. I didn't tell
everybody now. Patience, my dear. And then this week, I was sitting there looking at the clock. It's 10 of 10. Okay, good. We're about to start. Don't fall asleep. And I fell asleep. Then woke up at 10 after 10. So at least it was after the show, not during the show. And this is called My Muse. She is a petulant mistress, an abstract of shadows, voice without form, words without text. Her dystopian images require translation, a softer approach to what I create from the ashes of what came before. Tear it all down and rebuild anew. But why, says I with a lingering sigh, no need to reinvent the wheel, just adding a spoke or two will probably do. But no, comes the answer, death is an absolute, a terminal refinement of life. Writing is no weakling pursuit. Will you deny your phoenix? Kill and destroy what you wrote in the past. Acknowledge the new, the visceral, open-painted eyes that see and bleed red from their whites. Make a brick of stone, stone of steel, steel from thin air, air from the fire inside of you. Do you call me Prometheus, a gifter of flame, or a poetic Zeus who should hurl his bolts against old forms of verse? We argue threat, critical of divergent paths. My muse pretends not to hear, but one ear is cocked for surrender, words primed for the sundering of a self ego rips, subservient to a voice without form, whose words without text I reject without rancor. My muse is a bitch, a voice I know well, an angel from heaven merged with a devil from hell. End poem.
Great read, Laurent. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, what do you got? What do you think?
Well, you know, I had to think about this for a while before the show. The description of your muse is very well done there. I picked this line. Well, I picked a couple lines, so you have to bear with me here. She's a petulant mistress, an abstract of shadows. Well, she is just so damn ornery and has some nerve, but in all honesty and all teasing aside, you know, we argue, fret, critical, and divergent paths. My muse pretends not to hear, but one ear is cocked for surrender. Words primed for the sundering. What a sneaky thing she is, I said. You know, then my muse is a bitch, a voice I know well, an angel from heaven merged with a devil from hell. My opinion on this, seems she's doing right by you. No matter how much of a bitch she is, because your pen has never failed you, and your work is always top-notch. So maybe you should be a little nicer to your muse. I find it to be a wonderful poem, a wonderful description of the muse that you hold so close to your heart. There you go.
That's one of the nicest things you've ever said.
Remember that. I can't promise there'll be more, but I can tell you like it is. Okay. And I'm sure when you look at this, I'm sure that you'll understand exactly what I said to you. So anyway, it was a good poem. Nice job. Thanks for writing for the content. Well, for the show.
Great comment, Jean. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And Katie, how about you?
No, there's enough. There's a lot to decipher in this epic poem. Very interesting. I have a couple of stanzas that I really enjoy, though. Death is an absolute, a terminal refinement of life. Writing is no weakling pursuit. Will you deny your phoenix? Kill and destroy what you wrote in the past. Acknowledge the new, the visceral, open-painted eyes that see and bleed red from their whites. So this is somebody who really, really wants to write to the very best standard they can. And so you look at what you've written before and think, you know, that's not really up to snuff. Let's try again. And I can imagine, you know, that would be your writing process. You would work on each line to get it to exactly where you want it to be and have it say everything you want to say, which is a gift. So, yes, thank you so much for sharing this, Laurent. I enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Well said, Kate. Thank you. All right, I got to start with the first. She's a petulant mistress, an abstract of shadows, voice without form, words without text. Her dystopian images require translation, a softer approach to what I create from the ashes of what came before. Now, that opening, that thought, abstract of shadows, voice without form, words without text, there's a note to that because it hits on the idea of nonconformism, abstract, voice without form, words without text. In other words, keeping it tight to where she wants to roll. And dystopian images are a thought to just what comes out in the moment. It doesn't have to mean anything except what the reader puts into the thought of what they see within it. But you also hit on that tear it all down and rebuild anew, but why, says I, with his lingering sigh. And then, of course, no need to reinvent the wheel. Just adding a spoke or two would probably do, but no, comes the answer. The influx of, as one grows and ages, new avenues open up. That spoke or two might just be an extra word that impales itself to mean something within that particular line or overall for the whole piece of the poetry. And then you hit on some other things. You offer up the back and forth between rolling into forms but not rolling into forms, and then you finish out the back end with a because you hit on, what was it, we argue, fret, critical of divergent paths. My muse pretends not to hear, but one ear is cocked for surrender. works prime for the sun ring. The idea of don't argue with my ass. I know what you need, what you want, what's supposed to be expressed. And then that sort of ego being ripped in the moment because you think this is where, but you keep going back to what was offered in the first place, that sort of direction when it comes to editing. Is it not? Don't edit that because that's what's supposed to be there. And then you offer up on the back end, after going through little touches of flavor to rhyming, you finish out with a full flourish on the rhyme in the back end. My muse is a bitch, a voice I know well, an angel from heaven messed with a devil from hell. See, it's offering up the both angles and taking the note to centering in the middle where it's offered and not diverging from one side to the other, but where she wants you to go and begin with. Now, it's okay to edit, but don't over-edit because then she gets pissed off.
Yeah. Yep. Nicely done.
So with that, it's nice having the back end of that little touch of self-deprecation. I want you. No, you can't. I want you. No, you can't. The driving edge of what she wants is what's important. All right, Jean, we're coming up. That's it for you.
Okay, so let's see. I've got enough time for one more poem. So I have one here with a SoundCloud that has, it's a song. So this is called Salvation by Fantasy by Jody Prismaskia. He's somewhat new to the group. He's been with us a couple months. So I'm going to put this one up, and I'm going to play the song, and that'll be it for tonight. And I have a few carryovers, but I'll see if I can't find time to let everyone know who. Here we go.
Great sound client there, Javi. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. And Laurent, why don't we start with you?
Yeah. I've been trying to find out what Salus per Confectura stands for. And it kind of escapes me a little bit. I know that Salus is a Roman god rarely referred to. I don't know what Confectura means. But the poem or the song itself, I found absolutely riveting. It's different. And different is a good thing these days. It's beautifully composed, easy to listen to. It has a rhythm and a tone that is very, I don't want to say alien, but it is very unusual and really it's somewhat hypnotic. I found myself listening to it, kind of mesmerized by the whole thing. I don't pretend to really be able to tell you exactly what it's about, but there's enough lines in here. Hypnotized by ideology, salvation by fantasy, prevent you from seeing reality dwelling inside depravity. You know, it's a doctrine, as she says, that leads you nowhere. Find yourself at the door of despair that can take advantage of your innocent faith. I think it's a reference to salvation, redemption, and understanding. If you follow the rules of the game that's currently being played, I kind of get that feeling. I'm not sure if it's accurate or not, but this is really something quite special, I think.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. I think you're on the right track there. Those little notes to the piano that were offered, kind of offered up an ominous tone. It was a little on the dark side there, which added a great background set to it as well. And Kate, how about you?
Yes, this is the music was absolutely fabulous. I really enjoyed it. Singing was great. But this, to me, points to when you see the word like their doctrine leads you nowhere, find yourself at the door of despair, and then you'll receive redemption, follow our instruction, never doubt or question the true institution. Yeah, that does smack very much of, I wouldn't say a cult, because obviously not, it's a religion. But if you're hypnotized by ideology, then you're not really able to think for yourself. So, yes, I thought it was a great poem. I really enjoyed it. So deep and so full of meaning. And, yes, pointing fingers is always good. So thank you for sharing that.
Excellent. And, Jean, how about you?
You know, I thought this was a really good piece. That's Jody and his wife. His wife is the one singing. And I found it, it was a very well-done video when I saw it, when Jody first joined the group, I saw it. You know, I thought it was a wonderful write and a great video, and I thought it was very well put together. I'm hoping to see more of them soon in the future. I mean, so far this is the only release they've had. And I wanted to thank him so much for sharing with us tonight. He did have a second poem on the board, but I opted to do this one first because I thought it was a good introduction to them. And just a nicely done piece. You know, I love how the poem started or the song started. When you question what is life, you are trapped in a path of exile. Their acts start to horrify, you cannot reconcile. Suffering makes you realize your masters are devils in disguise, stuck in the dark of the light, their promise is a blight. And I thought that, it was just an intriguing piece to me. So well done, and thank you so much, Jody.
Excellent. Great comment, everybody. All right, Jean, we're at the back end of everything. Close us out.
Okay, everybody. We have some carryovers, of course. We don't have as many as some nights, so that's a plus. Tonight we have one by Jody, one by Jack Tomkovic, one by Dan Ficino, one by Weaver of Dreams, and one from Poetic Picasso. So I'm going to move all of those to next Friday, and I want to thank you all for putting into the board. You know, you can't rush it, so that's the way that works. And, so wonderful night tonight, everybody. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for joining in. Ron, thanks for pinching yourself. I hope you don't have bruises. Yeah, we'll have to do it again next week, everybody. And great poetry and great reads, comments. Just a nice show all the way around. And I'm happy to have shared it with you guys. So everybody have a great night and a great weekend. And I'll talk to you soon. Rex, I'll see you Saturday or Sunday. Good deal.
All right.
Okay. Thanks, everybody. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Don't forget to tune in to Park Center Partain at 12:30.
Good night, my dears.
Good night.
Thank you for using Blog.